Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Thank you very much. All right. Okay, let's get ready for a morning of worship. We have a lot that we're going to do this morning, including communion. And so let's begin with a word of prayer and then go to song. So let's begin prayer. How grateful we are for the church age, Heavenly Father, the age when we are universally indwelled by the Holy Spirit, endowed with the completed canon of Scripture. So many wonderful aspects, Heavenly Father. And we pray now that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. What are we going to sing, Brian?
Join in with song number 430. Song number 430 is The Old Rugged Cross. West.
Oh.
Terry, how did he do after that test when we prayed?
Actually, he said he did pretty well. And he didn't know I was requesting prayer for him. I just told him I would pray for him when he left. And he was not very confident at all about the test. Because he'd been working on the material all day, and he just didn't really know it. And when he came home, he said, I did pretty well. And I said, well, it just so happened. Jerry took a prayer request to church. It was cool.
All right, really good. Really good. Got to believe in the power of prayer.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Do we have any other prayer requests that we need to be made known? Yes.
Val, the young man at the cigar church.
Yep.
He's been once in class before, and he came yesterday. And during class, something came up. He had now admitted he wants to find God, but he's not a Christian yet. He's a quiet young man, at least what I know of him. His background, he was born in Russia, orphaned at 2 years old. His father killed his mother. So, on the streets of Russia, in and out of orphanage, came over here, I think, let's say he's 27 now, about 13 years old. Him and his sister. Has been married, recently divorced, has a young son. And
so he was an adolescent when his father killed his mother?
No, 2 years old. He was an orphan.
Oh, wow. True. Wow. Okay.
So, in and out of orphanages.
Okay.
Been over there. If you know anything about Russia over there, our system's bad enough.
Yeah.
Their system's worse.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's got a lot of questions, and I got a chance to talk to him after class, and he had a lot of questions for me, and giving him the gospel and going over things.
Good.
So I told him to call me if he has anything. So my prayer would be that the Holy Spirit go ahead and push him over the edge as far as believing in Christ.
Trey, I'd like you to get with Brian and pick up one of Hunt's books back there and get to him. It's a powerful book, don't you think?
Yeah.
That'll be powerful. Let him have that, and that'll be really good.
And on the other front, remember the older gentleman that I told you about going to hospice, the World War II vet?
Yes.
He actually passed later on that day.
Wow.
But at the funeral site, come to find out that he was a believer.
Good.
And that he didn't have any problems, ready to go. So... Good. Family felt a lot better.
Very good. Yeah. It's a real peace and a joy when you know where you're going, what's going to happen.
One more, I'm sorry.
Good. Good. Go.
Another gentleman came yesterday. His name is Devin. His distant cousin has incurable cancer. And in fact, so much that they're setting up hospice now. She's not that old. She's in her 40s.
Mm.
But she's a very strong believer. In fact, he's at wonder of her because he doesn't understand how she can have such a great
attitude
toward him. And so that I really had a good chance to explain why these things happen, and that she is glorifying God, and there is no better place for a Christian to be than the plan of God, fixing his step out into eternity, glorifying him through circumstances that the world does not understand.
Wow.
So he left yesterday feeling really good about it because he was really upset.
That's why you're there.
The whole reason. But she, I said, that is the reason. That is the reason that we're here. So that's a praise strong for people that are around her, because I don't know her name, that they will see it. And who knows how many people she's touching on her way out.
Now, some of you probably appreciate that Trey doesn't try to sell us any good cigars. If you have any cigar questions, he'll be happy to sit down and talk to you about the difference in cigars. I know zero. I mean zero. There's short ones, there's long ones, thin ones, thick ones, but I know zero. But thank you very much. I'm in prayer for the Cigar Church, and I think that's really wonderful, yes.
Keep Eve in prayer, her family, losing her step-grandson.
Please be in prayer for Eve. She's just one of our faithful members and good members here, and certainly gets me more water. Mm-hmm. And so please be in prayer for Eve at this time for the peace that comes through the Holy Spirit, as well as the guidance of wisdom. Yes.
Cassidy Victor, she's one of our campers that go to summer camp.
Okay.
She has been sick for over a month, longer probably, with migraines that they can't find out what's the cause of these, an ongoing sinus infection. Her mom's requesting prayer for her and the family because it's very stressful on her mom. She's missed a lot of school. She's
wow.
getting stressed.
How old is she?
She's 15.
15.
She's a freshman this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so they can't figure out what's going on. So,
moms,
they just
run a
prayer, but they get
some answers. It's tough being a teenager today. I wouldn't want to be one today. Any other prayer? I think you will be in prayer. Yes?
I've got a meeting with my customer tomorrow. It could go well or it could go otherwise.
Hey, you're going to the right group. How do you want it to go?
I might retire early to go
We'll be in prayer. Kip, thank you very much. I believe in the power of prayer, people, and just pray that God's will be done in the guidance of you and the customer. Very good. Kip is looking forward to retiring about July, August, and now that hope has caused the problem with his wife. What's he going to do once he retires? He has his idea, and she has her idea. So we're going to be in a different kind of prayer later on for you, all right? Right now, we'll pray for the meeting tomorrow. Yes. And
several months ago, we put my cousin Norma and her husband John on the prayer list for health issues.
Yeah.
And we just learned that her health issues are very, very critical. And they're having difficulty in taking care of her. And John has a lot of difficulty in helping her with that care. So just like we do the prayer.
And what do you want us to be in prayer?
Well, we need to be sure and pray that they have peace of mind about what's going on. She is a believer. I'm not sure about him.
Okay.
We need to pray for John, and that if he's not a believer, that this is a situation which will help lead him to the Lord. But pray for patience and perseverance.
Yeah.
Comfort. And John, just wisdom on how to take care of him.
Okay. I will be in prayer.
And he's having to help her with it.
Yeah.
All right.
She has certain strokes.
Ooh.
And kidney problems. Other issues.
She has several strokes?
She's had several small
strokes. Wow. That's dangerous. Okay, we'll be in prayer. Any other prayer? Yes.
No, just an answer to prayer. My friend Judy that had that major back surgery
yes.
2 weeks ago, she's doing very well and has moved closer to home now into a rehab hospital. But yeah,
okay.
she was in the ICU for probably about a week and then slowly recovered from that. So she's doing well. Thank you.
So how long will she be in the rehab?
That I don't know, but she needs prayer.
She probably doesn't know
either. She needs prayer, yeah.
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 All right, we'll be in prayer. Very good. Any other prayer? Yes.
Herman, Lila had a little car accident yesterday, I think. It was yesterday. It might have been the day before.
Oh, no.
She's unable to drive her vehicle here. And so she's fine, but I just wanted to let everybody know so we can pray for her. That
absolutely.
Gets the car repaired.
Okay, she was not hurt physically.
She is not hurt physically.
Okay.
Just
was it her fault or
was
somebody else's fault?
I think I let Lila tell you
this. Oh, okay.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. We will be in prayer for Lila. And God's will be done in regard. Yes.
Yesterday, my husband had an MRI.
You can get too personal here.
All things.
So I would like prayer that we find something out from the results from the MRI. Or
those aren't nice. You should. It only means you don't want to know.
If you've never had an MRI, if you have, you got a little tube, and it rolls you in there, and you're about that far from the top. And I was in there for over an hour, and when the guy rolled me out, I said, "Let me ask you a question. Do very many people ever freak out?" He said, "All the time." He said, "A lot of people do not know they have claustrophobia until they get in there." And they get in there and they freak out. And I got to tell, just stay calm. I'm bringing you out. Don't bang your head. Just live. But it's quite an experience to just lie in there that long And, oh, good grief. Oh. Yeah. I just didn't realize what you just said. You are not a nice person. You're a nice person. That isn't nice. No, I heard it. Wow, it's loud in there and banging, and then they tell you to hold your breath. He said that's generally when people freak out. They cannot hold their breath, and they can find air for about 35 seconds, and that just freaks them out, like, I'm going to die. And they got to come out of there. But
you might say why they asked you to come in, because they did find something that they're concerned about.
Yeah, they're concerned about.
And that's why we need to pray.
My lower heart, and what are you laughing at?
You might say, but she'll do it for you.
We're going to say, bless your heart.
Please do, Father. Seeing Elmore, you know, we don't have that many social things here. Once a month, the first Sunday of each month, generally, we have communion, and then we eat together and talk, not gossip, but we talk and get to just talk to each other. And the Friday, the 26th of this month, the Elmores are having the entire church invited over, and we're going to sing. And are you going to play that kind of piano? So please plan on coming the Friday night, the 26th, 6:30. Are we going to eventually get how to get to your place up there? Right now, there's a little sign up if you want to bring something to eat. Where it's just going to be a simple taco type of eating, and I don't guess tacos interrupt with your singing. Okay.
I will send the directions to get to our house.
Okay.
To be put on the prayer list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's put it on there.
Yeah.
Good. And so please plan on that. It'll be a lot of fun. I grew up doing that nearly every Sunday night. And just a lot of fun to get with people and get around the piano and sing. They used to let me sing when I was a kid and found the piano. And then they told me I couldn't stay in the choir any longer. And so please plan on that Friday, February the 26th, 6:30, 6 to 6:30, and until whenever. Yep. And so please.
People that want to bring different.
Yeah, if you want to bring different things, there's a sheet back there, and you can kind of just let us know what you plan on bringing. And if you don't want to bring anything, please do not come. Please come. Just come enjoy the fellowship, and
Frisco.
Frisco. It's on your way down.
Yeah.
So, all right. So please bear that in mind. We can do that. Yes.
I put the father of a good friend of mine on prayer list. The father's about 85. He's been in and out of ICU 3 times over the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
In fact, the doctors have told them that 99 times out of 100, what this guy's been through, they have already passed away. So he's trying to get him stabilized and move him out of ICU. Something else happens and he goes back into ICU. So, and I haven't gotten an update since Thursday, so I'm not sure how he's doing.
Jeff, do we know if he's a believer?
I think that, yes, I'm pretty sure that is a believer.
Okay, good.
85, got a great sense of humor. He's
good.
Always joking with the nurses and whatnot.
Good.
In there, but
very good.
Great. He's a very nice man.
Good.
And he lives up in Nashville, so my friends had to fly up there 3 different times. Right. About the time he gets back, he goes back into ICU. So.
Has he been to the Hank Williams Museum up there?
Probably so.
My wife's going now. Yes.
Quick praise, continuous praise, and prayer for Jeremiah. the young man, the young boy who got hit by the car in the fire wheel. He is up on a walker now, so he's got the prosthetic leg, and he's learning how to use the walker so he can ultimately begin to walk. He just turned 10 the other day, he had a birthday, and his comment was, "I'm ready to get out of the hospital because I want to see what God wants me to do from here."
Beautiful. Love that.
He is just an amazing witness for who and what God is and Christ is and his mom. I can't possibly imagine being his mom or dad and all they've gone through, and it's just constant, nonstop praise and prayer, and God knows what he's doing, and we're and faith, and it's just constant from coming from
these. Beautiful.
People. It's an amazing witness.
Please be in prayer. You're a young man, my goodness.
He'll be out of the hospital, I'm hoping, in a few months, but he's pretty awesome.
10 years old.
10 years old.
So the next time you complain about a hurt finger, think about a young 10-year-old without a leg. So.
Well, if I mentioned the gentleman's name, his name's David Turner.
David?
Turner.
David Turner. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. We'll be in prayer. I see another hand over here. Okay. So any other announcements or any prayer requests? All right. Please bear these things in mind. Now, we have a full schedule today. We've got communion. And the Super Bowl's not till 5:30, so I've got till 5. And we can get these things done. And you'll get home. I've already got other plans, so I'm not going to be able to watch Manning get his second Super Bowl ring. And, the Manning family, that's got to be interesting when all the family get together. Eli sitting there, I got two. How many of you have there, Peyton? And so now Peyton will be able to say, hopefully, I have two also. Yes.
Fort Manning, but then I heard the story this morning about the special team coach of South Carolina, Bruce Haven. I believe he's a believer and he's in the final state of prostate cancer.
Who's that?
The special teams coach for Carolina, he's dying of prostate cancer, but he's still out in the field coaching.
I don't know. Now I'm feeling.
Well, there are Christians on the Broncos team. They may not be dying of prostate cancer, but they got to be some Christians. Got to be a few. I mean, there are some good Bible churches in Denver, so there got to be some Christians in that team, you think. My goodness. Okay, any other requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, I'm working with Jim Passmore of having a simplified balance sheet, and we kept in the kitchen of income, outgo, and very basic things, and any further questions you can ask him. And he said he would get that done. So we'll have that for you of what's going on. And I'm not sure, but I think we're getting close to signing a new, deciding on a lease agreement. Isn't ours up? Okay. I thought it was this year was up. Probably. Okay. And it's in April. So we'll find out from Tony what is going on in that respect. Okay. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunities you give us in this humble assembly. The internet reaching so many young people in so many different ways, touching other churches like even the Cigar Group. The young people in homes right here in this assembly. Missionaries, and in our own assembly right here. We pray for one another. Encourage one another. Father, we're so thankful. And we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You'll continue to use this assembly for the spreading of the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. you, Wes. Friday night the 26th at the Elmores. Please be sure you ask Brian about taking a shower in a car wash. And he'll be more than happy to share that with you. And that's it. Yeah, I took a shower in a car wash. Well, he's the one who said it would be gossip. Okay. Does anyone not have the love of God? Anyone not?
Come to the right place.
Yeah, you're the right place, brother. You come down forward and we'll talk to you. Does anyone not have the pamphlet, the handout, the love of God? Everybody have one? All right. Do you have one? Then?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. All right. Okay. Now, I hope you realize this is so short. My goodness. This is the thinnest one we've ever had. Well, let's see how long it takes us to go through it. See if I can get through it by 5 o'clock. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is very important. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. It centers us on your righteousness and how that is what we must have is your righteousness. How unrighteousness was found in Lucifer in eternity past because of arrogance, and therefore warns us against that deadly sin. And yet, Heavenly Father, it tells us of your love and your faithfulness. We pray, Father, that this morning your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you. Now, don't miss the point of this confidence in your own life. Why does Paul have this confidence? Because of the faithfulness of the Lord, in verse 3. Because of the faithfulness of the Lord, we can have confidence. His confidence is not in man. His confidence is in the Lord, and we'll explain how the two are related in a moment. Paul is talking about believers being strengthened by the Lord. Verse 3. We must understand that our souls are strengthened by our confidence in the Lord. We talk about the strengthening of the soul last week. The soul is strengthened by confidence in the Lord. We experience stress, anxiety, depression, because we have confidence in man, in others. I should have put in self here. I'm sorry I didn't put that in. But we have confidence in self, in man, in others, in circumstances. But we have no confidence in the Lord, and therefore stress, anxiety, and depression will result in others or in circumstances. But our confidence should be in the Lord. On the other hand, we can experience confidence when our confidence is in the Lord. Why? Because He is faithful. We have confidence in the Lord. The perfect tense used here means that this is Paul's present state that stated when he first arrived in Thessalonica. Verse 1, we have assurance of eternal life. Because our confidence is in the faith, verse 3, is confidence in the Lord. Now, verse 2, the Lord gives us His assurance so that we might have confidence in our daily life. If our confidence is in the Lord, we receive confidence in life. We can become depressed in life because we know we cannot trust or put our confidence in others, ourselves. But in that same circumstance, we can put our confidence in the Lord, and we receive peace in our souls. So it is important in your daily lives to be aware of where your confidence is. People, we've been studying prophecy But for last week, this week, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be studying what this is called practical theology, right where you live. We had a very important study this morning in the 9:15 class, The Origin of Arrogance, and how arrogance creeps into all of our souls. Well, this morning we're going to continue in studying a practical theology. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, for we, believers in Christ, are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, that is, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so you've got to know how to do that, and glory in Christ, and put no confidence in the flesh. So where should our confidence be? In the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. And again, I will put my confidence, my trust, in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. We are confident in life toward or before our God, and this confidence is because of our position in Christ. Not that we are adequate, in 2 Corinthians, continue reading Corinthians, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. We're studying in first class this morning, in Ezekiel 28, the two primary things that brought Satan down were beauty and wisdom. Two things that we all have in common with Satan every day of our life. Beauty and wisdom. He was so beautiful, and he had the maximum of wisdom, and he used it to turn against God. He became so impressed with himself. Beauty is a wonderful, wonderful blessing, but it comes with great dangers. Wisdom is a wonderful blessing, but it comes with great dangers. So here in 2 Thessalonians 3:4, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing and will continue to do what we instruct. What is the relationship between their confidence in the Lord and how these believers will act? That's the question. What's the relationship here? Confidence is not in these people, it's in the Lord. So what's the relationship of his confidence in the Lord and how these believers will act? They have confidence about the conduct of these believers because of their relationship with the Lord. And the Lord, through or by means of the Holy Spirit, will perfect or bring to maturity what he began in you the day you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. Why? The faithfulness of the Lord. Whoever keeps his word, the word of the Lord. How do you keep the word?
They have confidence. Paul and somebody else?
And in the Thessalonian passage? Yes. It's Paul and his team.
Paul
and his, that's the plural. Paul and his team. Okay, they have confidence in the Lord. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, whoever keeps his word, how do we keep his word? By the power of the Holy Spirit. In him, the love of God has truly been perfected. Are made complete. By this we know that we are in Him. We constantly know it. Question: how do we keep or obey His Word? Note that before you turn the page, 1 John 2:5, whoever keeps His Word, the love of God has surely been perfected. How do we keep His Word? By faith. It's simple. By living by faith in the Holy Spirit, not by doing, but by faith, then the love of God is perfected in us. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now, when I first read that, I thought, you know, see, Holy Spirit, you kind of messed up here. It should have been the steadfastness of God and the love of Christ. Because we are to love as Christ loved. So you kind of messed up here, Holy Spirit. See? And then the Holy Spirit said, shut up and listen. And so I did that. I shut up and listened. So let's see what we have. May the Lord direct your hearts. This is a rare optative mood in the Greek, which introduces a wish, a desire on Paul's part for these believers, that the Lord would direct their hearts into the love of God. We have seen this word used in a non-theological context in 1 Thessalonians 3:11. Let's see it. Now, may our God and Father Himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way, Paul and his team, to you. That's non-theological. That's geographical. That's just that he'll come, be able to come and teach them. But here, it is God direct, in our passage, it's God directing their hearts, which means he will do this within them. Question. How does God direct our hearts? People, the study of the will of God is one of the most complicated of studies. There are books, and one that was very popular when I was in seminary was about that thick. Understanding and knowing the will of God, that thick. It needed to be one page. One page. He got so complicated, so lost in all of this stuff. How do we know the will of God? How do we really know? Does he call us on the phone? Does he send us an email? I would have said a telegram, but those, a lot of you wouldn't have understood what a telegram is. Though, does he send us an email? Does he send us a tweet or whatever it is? And on Facebook? Yes. Yeah. See, that's what we want. You know, God, I want to do what you want. Just let me know. Email me. Tweet me. Facebook me something. And I'll go do it. People, we live by faith. And if by faith, you got to walk in the Spirit and trust the Spirit to lead you. And when you start doing that, that's when you'll start really living. You're not living when you walk like the disciples. The disciples walked by sight. Jesus Christ went to Galilee. They followed him to Galilee. Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem. They followed him to Jerusalem. Jesus Christ went to Samaria. They followed him to Samaria. They walked by sight. We walk by faith. We don't have the physical Jesus Christ anymore. I'm going to send you another one just like me, deity, but it won't be human. It'll be the Spirit of Truth. He'll lead you. How's he going to do that? Same way you did with me. You trust me, you trust him. You trusted me, you trust him. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will teach you all truth. So how does God direct our hearts? By and through the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. Here we come to the study that God has graciously supplied every believer in the church age with the Holy Spirit. It's what makes the church age unique. Every believer is universally indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. That did not happen in the Old Testament. He went into the believers, filled believers. But in the church age, he indwells us, and you can't lose it. You cannot. You may never walk in him. You may never walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, live by the Spirit, follow after the Spirit. You may never do it, but he's there. He's there. You got $1 billion in a bank account, and you're just not using it. But he's inside you, and you can't lose it. You can live a very simple life, but you're not going to lose the Holy Spirit. He's there. And anytime you want to get back, he's right there, that close to you. So this is how he does it in the church age, by the Holy Spirit. Look at John 16:13. But when he, this is Jesus Christ speaking to the 11 disciples, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now, there's so much here. But he will not speak on his own. Neither did Jesus Christ. Everything I speak to you, I got from the Father. I don't speak on my own. I speak what the Father told me. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He hears from the Father and the Son, and that's what he discloses. This is how we did a study, how the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ were so much alike. And this is one of the areas that they're so much alike. But in our study right now, the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So once again, we come to the all-important question. How are you empowered by God the Holy Spirit so that he can guide you? A lot of preachers will tell you that he'd be filled with the Spirit, guided to the Spirit, all these things. How? How do I do that? That's the question. It's like the most important question for the unbeliever. How am I saved? What do I have to do to be saved? And for the believer, the most important question, how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a crucial question. By works? By desire? By wishing it? By committing myself to him? By listening to gospel music? By going to church? What is it? By faith. Simple faith. As you have received him, so walk. It is by faith. So how are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? By grace, through faith in the Holy Spirit. The love of God sounds like a wonderful phrase. But what does it mean? There are two aspects to the love of God that are pertinent to this study. First, the love of God is received only in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the first thing you want to know about the love of God, it is received only in Jesus Christ. Second, but we receive the love of God only through the Holy Spirit. How can you say that? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. God the Father first gave us the Holy Spirit, and then through the Holy Spirit, he pours out his love through the Holy Spirit. When you are walking by faith in the Spirit, he pours out the love of God into you. We receive it initially through faith in Christ, and experientially in our life through the power of God the Holy Spirit. Those two passages right there, Romans 8:39, Romans 5:5, are crucial to your Christian life. They're crucial. How do I receive the love of God? Through Jesus Christ. As you move away from Jesus Christ in your life, you move away from the love of God. How do I receive it? By the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. As you move away from walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, not by works of confession or repentance or yielding, all these other things. It's by faith. Simple faith. Non-meritorious faith in the third member of the Godhead. It is so beautiful. So here we have two key verses, Romans 8:39, Romans 5:5. Now, next phrase, steadfastness of Christ. The Greek word is our old friend, hupomone, which refers to steadfastness. Oftentimes it's translated patience. But this is patience in regard to circumstances, while macrothumia refers to patience of long suffering or long tempered in regard to others. Obedience to his command or his instruction can be met only by divine enablement. Now, attitude and actions toward disorderly believers. This is going to be tough for a lot of you. Some of you aren't even going to like it. Some of you may not even believe it. It's the Word of God. I didn't write it. What I want to do first is just let's read 6 through 15 and see where we're going to be going over the next week. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. This is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother, this is a believer, who leads an unruly life, not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. Now, let me just give parenthesis. When you come to the Elmores on Friday the 60th, you will not have to pay to eat. We understand. I said, wait a minute. You don't have to pay. But we'll come to what this is dealing with when we get here. Verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he does not eat either. Well, there goes the political discussion. Verse 11. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. That's going to be a good one. Verse 12. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of that person. Do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. That doesn't go with what a lot of churches teach, but we'll cover it. Verse 15, yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we all have a pretty good idea of what we're not to do in regard to one another, and I just brought out some. We're not to steal from one another, not to lie to one another, not to judge one another, not to have immoral sexual relationships with one another, and then the list goes on and on. But what are we to do when another believer does any of these things to us? What are we to do? Before we look at what we are to do and not do when someone sins against us, let us look at our daily life should look like toward others, toward one another, that is, towards other believers in Jesus Christ. So let's take a look now, and those of you that have been here for any number of years, this is an old chart, but I thought it was an appropriate time to bring it back up and have it right at your fingertip again. This is taken from the Greek of the New Testament, and it's confined to where the word one another is in application, referring to one another of the same kind, another believer. Now, I have people, well, aren't we supposed to do some of these things to unbelievers? Yes. People, it's easy to deal with some unbelievers. We don't expect too much from them. But you let a believer let you down, now you've got a test. Now you've got a challenge. That's why it's so important. So these are taken to one another's that you're getting ready to look at, are one another of the same kind, other believers. It can be husband. It can be wife. That's where it starts. Close relationship, family, friends, church, work, social life, business life. This is how we are to live. And when I worked on this, what I did, we took up under the power of the Holy Spirit, we will. Let's look at the first one. Love one another. And then in a lot of these, not in every one, but in most of these, there's a qualifier, some kind of qualifying concept. So we are to love one another as Jesus Christ loves you. And then I decided I want to put in the antonym. What's the opposite? Hate. Not emotional, but evaluation. And I gave you some verses. Now, the scripture reference for the positive, love one another, I've listed several passages for you. They all important, John 13, 34, and 35. But we studied those passages, or we've looked at them. But here we have how we're to deal with one another. Love one another. Now, that immediately should shout at some of you. Paul over here tells me, don't associate with them. Over here, I'm supposed to love them. How am I supposed to love them and not associate with them? We're going to have to cover that. We're going to have to cover that. What does this mean? Don't make more out of love than it's there, and don't make less out of it than it's there. The second one, serve one another. Yes, husbands, you are to serve your wife. Wife, you are to serve your husbands. We're to serve one another, believers. Qualifier, in spiritual love. Now, the qualifier you'll find in the passages over on the right where it says scripture references. That's where you'll find the qualifiers. Okay? So the qualifier, serve one another in spiritual love. That's Galatians chapter 5, 13. Then the antonym, thinking you are master and stand above others, superior, that you should be the one served. You know, people have an idea about love. I love you, therefore you ought to bow down and worship me. I love you, therefore you ought to do this. I love you. How could you do that to me? How could you do that to me when I love you? See, they use love as a control. Love is not a control. That's what you want to learn about love. Love doesn't control. You can't use that. I love you. How can you do that? But I love you. You should do this. Love isn't a control. We've got a lot we need to learn about spiritual love. So we're to serve one another in spiritual love. Okay, third one. Bear one another's burdens. And the Greek makes it clear, brought on as a result of sin. People sin, and they're going to have suffer a lot of times for it. Qualifier, in this is Galatians 5, 6, in gentleness, as Jesus bore our burdens of sin. Bear one another's burdens. Who bore your burdens? Jesus Christ on the cross. You want to follow Christ? You bear one another's burdens. The antonym, to shake, stir up, to render insecure, run them down, judge them. Verse, Galatians 6, 1 and 2. The fourth one, recognize that we are members of one another. Qualifier, in Jesus Christ. Antonym, the antonym, add to their burden. See? We add to their burden rather than recognize we're together in Christ. Five, be devoted to one another. Now, let's go through this list. See, there's different ways you can use a list like this. See here, honey? It says, be devoted. You're supposed to be devoted to me. It's what it says right here in the Bible. You ought to be devoted to me. See, that's not the correct use of this. It's not the correct. What we can do is be like lawyers. Well, you can use that one, but I'm going to go back and say, serve one another. You're to serve me. And so we get into battles. That's why you have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit in a list like this. So be devoted to one another in spiritual love. In hardness of heart, becoming callous is the antonym. Six, and as I go through, if you got any questions, raise your hand. Six, give preference to one another in an honorable manner. Give preference to your needs over their needs. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. I'm just thinking we could have included Philippians too, where we are to give preference to one another. But we give preference to one another. It's not about you. I'm sorry. We studied that this morning in the study of arrogance. It's not about you. We're here to represent Christ. Seven, think the same towards one another. as we regard, as we are equal in Jesus Christ. That's how we're to think about each other. You're married to someone that's in Christ. They're married to someone in Christ. Hopefully your children are in Christ. Hopefully your parents are in Christ. And people you associate with, we must regard them as one another in Christ. The antonym, believe we're better or superior over them. People, spiritual gifts are not for you. Understand that. Spiritual gifts are for others. My spiritual gift is not for me. It's for you. It doesn't make me superior. It doesn't make you superior or inferior, depending on your spiritual gift. No spiritual gift is designed for superiority or inferiority. It's designed to serve the body of Christ. So whatever spiritual gift you have is designed for you to serve, not to become arrogant or depressed about. It's not what it's designed to do. So we are to think the same toward one another. And we're not better than one another. And you've got the scripture references. 8. Pursue those things which build up one another. People, that's powerful. In conversations. In dealing with one another. You pursue those thoughts, those things which build up one another. And they qualify, edify their spiritual life. Their relationship with God. That's what you're building up. Not the relationship with you, the relationship with God. So you pursue those things that will build up their relationship with the Lord. And there's antonym, destroy or tear down. You run them down. 9. Be of the same mind with one another. That is thinking. And the antonym, thinking of self alone. But we're to be of the same mind with one another. The same mind is the Word of God. That's why it's so wonderful not to be unequally yoked, but to be equally yoked. You can come together. The same mind. If your same mind is about Christ, your same mind is about the Word of God. You're in a battle. You're in a fight. Maybe a husband and wife. Maybe friends. Let's sit down and look at the Word of God. See what the Word of God says. There goes humility. Or arrogance. Now comes humility. I've got to just say, okay, I'm ready to look to see what the Word of God says. So be of the same mind with one another. 10. Accept one another. Just as Jesus Christ accepted us. The antonym? To cast or send out. Reject. Due to sins or failures. Oh! What's that going to do with 1 Thessalonians 3? We're going to have to cover it. Cover it. It's there. I've got to be able to look at that. And we've got to be able to understand what Paul is saying and what he is not saying. 11. Uh-oh. Admonish one another. See that? I can admonish you. The Word of God says, admonish one another. I'm admonishing you. I'm not chewing you out. I'm not judging you. I'm admonishing you. Yeah, right. Take your admonishing. Go somewhere else. All right? Admonish one another in spiritual love to return to the Spirit-filled life. That's what you're admonishing them to do. The antonym, lead astray into law. Judge them. No, we're to admonish them to be in the Holy Spirit. You do it in a spirit of love. 12. Greet one another. With overt manifestation is the idea. In spiritual love. Antonym, avoid, ignore, slander, blame. No, we're to greet one another. And this is an overt manifestation. A holy kiss, shake of a hand, a hug, this kind of thing. 13. Oh, boy. This will get some of you. Wait on your wife. Wait on your husband. Wait for one another in spiritual love. See, I'm waiting on you. That's not in spiritual love. I'm sorry. You get no brownie points for that. You get no brownie points sitting in the car blowing the horn, waiting. You get nothing for that. This is in spiritual love. You go sit down, read the Bible, read the paper. But you do it in spiritual love. Wait for one another. 1 Corinthians 11:33 is your scripture reference. The antonym, not waiting. With despair. No long suffering. Come on, let's go. We're going to be late. Come on, come on, come on. See, you learn over the years. Now, I had to follow. I know people have told me, I always tell my spouse, and I'm not going to say to husband or wife, that something is 15 minutes earlier than when it really is. Or 30 minutes earlier than it really is. Because if I do that, when it's time for us to leave, they'll be ready. See? So that's smart. That's okay. As long as you have the spiritual love, macrothumia, and you're just sitting down reading the paper while they're getting ready. So, huh? What'd he say? Huh? Well, it's not really lying. It's working the clock. Yeah. It's
being a husband. That's being a husband.
That's the answer.
That's the answer.
Well, some wives have that problem with men. Some men take their time. They just no hurry. And, yes.
It's not about what you say, but how you say it. Instead of saying we have to leave by this next 15 minutes, it's just that we're ready by
this. Yeah, exactly. It's how you say it.
Yeah. How you say it.
That's not going to work. That's not going to work. See? All right. Now, let's play a lot of poker here. Okay. 14, care for one another. The qualifier, with another believer, when another believer hurts, sins, or fails, recognize their need. Why did they do what they did? That's what you have to do. Not judge them. Why did they do what they did? How could I help that? How could I bring them back to the spirit of their life? Not judge them for what they did. Why did they do that? Why did they feel compelled to be that way? And what can I do to help that? And the antonym, neglect or overlook. Have little regard for. And even judge them. 15. Be kind to one another. Relieving pain from sin and testing is the idea, with the object being their reconciliation with God. And there's a reference, the Bible references for you. Be kind to one another. I love the study of kindness. I'll tell you why. You can't define it. What is kindness? All that we can say about kindness is, kindness is what is needed at that moment. Not what's needed 20 minutes later, what is needed at that moment. That's kindness. You know, I shouldn't have talked to that person that way at work, and I'm going to go apologize. That's nice. But it's not the same as at that very moment, in the point of that confrontation, they needed kindness, and it wasn't there. Kindness is what is needed at that moment. And we don't know. That's why we have the leading of the Spirit. I don't know what kindness is going to look like. I know what it looked like here. I can look back. Ha! That's the kindness of the Holy Spirit, the way I handled that. That's really cool. I'm going to take that and superimpose that over here. No, you're not. That's not the kindness that will be needed over here. Kindness changes. And I love the New Testament Greek. You know where the word is used? Kindness of wine. Wine is kind to everyone. You got a really good first growth bottle of wine there, and you got one person sitting at the table, it could be Red Ruppel. They could be anything. They don't care. They don't know wine. You got another person, it's a snob. Smelling it, tossing it, and all this stuff. And the wine doesn't say, you know what? I'm not going to put forth my best for this knucklehead that doesn't appreciate me. I'm going to save it for this guy that can really appreciate it. No, wine gives it the same to everybody. It's kind. And that's what we are to be with one another. I don't know what it'll be. You don't know what it'll be. That's why we need to be in the Holy Spirit. That's how you're kind to one another. Okay? 16. Uh-oh. Submit to one another. I thought the woman was just supposed to submit, not the man. Submit to one another in reverence of Jesus Christ, and as opposed to lord over one another. Ephesians 5:21. We are to submit to one another in the improvement and the glorification of Christ. 17. Uh-oh. Commit and consider one another more important than self. Are you kidding? You gotta be kidding me. It's scripture, people. Consider the other person more important than self. Specifying or sacrificing yourself for their benefits as unto the Lord. You're sacrificing your benefits for their benefits as unto the Lord, what will serve them spiritually. 18. Uh-oh. Bear with one another regarding their sins against us. Bear with one another in spiritual love, which bears all things. Then you got the reference. The anonym, judge them, malign them. No, you bear with them. Bear with their sin nature. Work with their sin nature. Work with them. Bear with them. 19. A wonderful one. Forgive one another. Anything and everything. Qualifier, as you have been forgiven in Christ. As God has forgiven you in Christ. The anonym, to forgive only those sins we want to forgive them for. Other than that, we're going to hold it against you. No, forgive one another. That's how you're going to stay together as friends in Christ. 20, encourage one another in the love of Christ, who encouraged his disciples by washing their feet and giving them communion. That's how you serve one another. Encourage one another. He washed their feet. Here is the Son of God, their Savior, down on the floor, on his knees, washing Peter's big stinky feet. That's how I encouraged him. Peter didn't get it. Not mine, no. And the Lord said, permit it. Okay, then give me a whole bath. You don't need a whole bath, Peter. Just your feet. You're already saved. So, there's so many lessons in encouraging one another. Okay? 21. And we're just dizzying on here in time. Be at peace with one another. How in the world can you be at peace with one another all the time? Impossible. Therefore, you have to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why your relationship is with the Holy Spirit, not with them. Do you hear me? Your relationship is not with them, it's with the Holy Spirit. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is right, your relationship with them is right. As you relate how Christ loves you, that's how you will love them. It's all filtered through Christ and the Holy Spirit, not through them. Not how they treat you, not how they act toward you, but how the Lord does before you. 22, seek good for one another. The good here, restoration and service to God. Seek their good, always. Pursue, go after it. It means to seek it. Seek what's good for them. And the scripture references, the anonym, repay with evil, repay with kind, to seek revenge, defending self to the point of hurting others, seeking what is bad for them spiritually, just to get even. 23, I love this one. Confess to one another for healing and reconciliation. The anonym, denial, remaining in a state of hostility, refusing to pray for their good. James 5:16, confess to one another, work with one another. Doesn't mean come in, well, I'm not wrong. You just, that's the way I am. I love that. That's the way I am. You're just going to have to know, you're going to have to get into the Holy Spirit. People aren't going to adjust to you. You're going to have to get into the Holy Spirit. Okay? 24. Pray for one another, especially when they have sinned against you, for healing and reconciliation. And the passages are given to you. Pray for one another Instead of carrying anger, pray for them. Instead of carrying how upset you are with them, hurt you are with them, angry you are at them, settle down and pray for them. Think through your prayer to God the Father for them. 25. Stimulate one another to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, so they too will love as Christ loved. And the qualifier, as the Holy Spirit stimulates us, and the Hebrew 10:24. 26, be hospitable to one another without complaint and without grumbling. This is important. There's your eggs. There you like them. That's not the hospitality. That doesn't accomplish anything. They're your eggs, honey. It's the way you like them, honey. Bam! Now they ain't going to cut it. See? It's got to be done in a proper spirit. Hospitality to one another. See? Antonym, rudeness, thoughtless, hurting them, making them do without, or making them feel bad at what they got. Scripture reference. 27, be humble towards one another. And the only way this is going to happen is by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by law. And finally, 28, have fellowship with one another. This is the result of walking in the light, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and your passages. Antonym, selfish, do it alone. You're an island unto yourself. No, you're not. No, you're not. We're to serve one another. So these will give you some idea, and you gives you something to be in prayer about, something to think about and work on, and we'll have another one on another subject matter next Sunday morning. Okay, let's get ready now for our communion service. Get ready for communion, and then we'll have some fellowship. I think every one of you understand two elements of the Eucharist, the bread and the cup. The bread represents the decision of God as God to become man, as man to serve man by taking our place on the cross. The cup represents the Holy Spirit. How are we to live now that Christ is gone? That's why it's very important for the church age, people. Don't let anyone tell you the communion is not for the church age. It is definitely for the church age, in that the bread is for everyone. The cup comes after the Passover. It's for the church age, so you know how to walk and live now that Jesus is gone physically. Think about it from the standpoint of the 11 disciples. These young men have been walking with him. They've been following him, listening to him. And wherever he would go, they would go. Thomas would complain all the time. All right, let's go to Jerusalem and die. We go to Gerard and die anyway, so let's go to die. Thank you, Thomas. You're really encouraging. See? They followed him by sight. And he said, no, time is gone. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be gone. If you leave, how am I supposed to live? If you leave, how am I supposed to know what to do? How are we all going to stay at the same Holiday Inn if you leave? This way we've always been able to stay where you stay, been able to go where you go. Now we don't have that anymore. And that's the whole point. In the church age, everyone can live and follow Christ in your own life because you have the Holy Spirit leading you. All the believers are not going to stay at the same hotel where Jesus Christ stayed. We're going to stay where the Holy Spirit leads us individually and the husband and wife, family, this type of thing. So this is what the cup represents. It's the new covenant that we're to live by in the church age. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the communion service in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Eucharist. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that you have given to us these things for us to think about at the beginning of each month. How you want us to live, how we entered your plan, and how we're to continue in your plan. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I like the communion service in the Bible. They have very, very, very few rules. And therefore, different churches, different organizations, it's got to be done this way. It's got to be done every time you meet. Somebody else says once a week. Somebody else says once a month. Somebody else says once a year. There's no scripture reference. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong. We choose to do it once a month. Don't want to do it all the time, it loses its value. Once a month, the beginning of each month, how we entered the plan, how we want to live in that plan the rest of the time. Who serves? It's not in the Word. Some churches say only an ordained minister can serve. Well, that's interesting. You got a group of ladies in prison. There's no ordained minister, so they're not to have communion? I don't think so. So, got to ask yourself questions about these rules that people put on. Well, it's only for those in this church, in this assembly, closed communion. That's not in the Word of God. If it was, I'd teach it. It's not there. If you're a believer in Christ, please join us. Please do not cut yourself out of enjoying the Lord's Supper, fellowshipping communion with Him while you communion with others. That's the issue. So, we're not doing it right. We're not doing it wrong. We do it once a month, and that's the way we enjoy it here. So with that in mind, let's get ready for our communion. Giving this to the church, writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you," delivering this ritual over to us, "that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed by Judas, and well, by Satan, took bread. And when he had given thanks," now the bread represents his crucifixion, and he gives thanks for that. "He gave thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now, the cup represents the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, guiding us under the new covenant. It's our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone's been served, that we may take communion with each other as we take communion with him. Will you please stand? In the same manner, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup. There's a cup on the table. After supper, the Passover is over, saying, this cup is the new covenant, church age, new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, in the Bible, after the disciples and the Lord celebrated the Lord's table, the last Passover, the first Lord's table, they walked out singing. Well, I don't want to put our neighbors into shock. We're not going to walk out singing. But if you'll open your hymnals to 111, to hymn number 111, and we'll give this equal time that we gave the old rugged cross, we'll sing all four verses, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. That all of you will stay and have fellowship with us, and there's enough to eat back there, whether you didn't bring anything at all, and just feel free to join us in fellowship and some time together. You've got plenty of time before the Super Bowl, so you can spend a few moments here with one another. Let's close this part of our service in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the bread from the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the food we're about to eat. Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you for the enjoyment of the Word of God, the enjoyment of fellowship of one another. And we pray, Father, that this food and that this bread that we study from your Word will linger with us through this week. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.